to the Leading for Impact podcast, where we spotlight influential leaders in the nation's second largest school district, Los Angeles Unified. I am Allison Jonas, the Readiness and Integration Coordinator with the LAUSD's Instructional Technology Initiative, and I'm here with my co-host, Jamie Galgana, Leadership Support Specialist with ITI.
Hi, everyone.
The Leading for Impact podcast brings you the voices of leading experts and practitioners who are making a positive impact on teaching and learning in their communities for all learners and families. Today, we're speaking with Ms. Regina Martinez, principal at Franklin High School, Mr. Gavin Ma, math teacher and eSports director, also from Franklin High School, and Ms. Kiani Romero, robotics teacher and testing coordinator from Palms Middle School. Ms. Martinez, Mr. Ma, and Ms. Romero, welcome to the Leading for Impact podcast.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Welcome. It's so nice to meet you all. I just wanted to also add in there for the listener's awareness, this episode will be interviews in two parts. So let's start with part one with Region East's Franklin High School.
Thank you. My first question is for you, Principal Martinez. How long have you been principal at Franklin?
This is my ninth year at Franklin.
And what inspired you to bring esports to your school?
Actually, I think it was during COVID 2020 when Mr. Ma came to me and said, I have a proposal and I would like to lead this charge. We now have esports. And I said, what is esports, Mr. Ma? I was very perplexed with what esports, what does that mean? Well, we compete against other schools, and what do? We play video games. And at first, you know, I was kind of like, well, how is that a sport? I questioned that. But since we were locked down and nobody was playing anything, I think that was the most wonderful sport that came about in regards to keeping our students engaged and connected to us. Because if you remember back in 2020, that was really our biggest challenge, to connect our students to our school community. So yeah, there's nothing to lose, and keep me updated and keep me informed and educate me, Mr. Ma, because this is so very new for me.
That's great. I think that's wondering a lot of people do have on like esports, how is that a sport, right? But hopefully through this podcast and other ways, we'll iron out exactly that and show the importance of it and why it's so beneficial for our students. So you're at a high school and you have regular sports, right? And then now you're layering in this esports concept. How does this esports compare to the traditional sports at Franklin?
Well, it doesn't compare athletically, where you're doing something very physically with your body. You know, I think it's more recognizing that you're competing in the video game world. You're still competing. You still have that competitive aspect to it. And really, you know, it doesn't need to compare. It just needs to be an outlet for our students to engage them, to connect them to our school. Our students are very varied, and their likes and what they're passionate about is, you know, it's very diverse. And as principal, I always want to make sure that I have something for everyone, because as you know, we are a diverse population, and the video games is something that should not be done alone, right? And it should be a team effort. And I think it really also connects with a lot of the C's, right? The collaboration, the communication, the critical thinking skills that you need. So the real world experience, this is what our kids love to do. This is what the kids do in their bedrooms, and to come together as a team and compete against other high schools, and not just other high schools, but I'm always very impressed by the high schools that are not in our district, the private schools that we go up against, the schools out by the beach, and to hear that, oh my gosh, you know, look at Franklin is moving on up. There's every stage when we're moving up, Mr. Moss keeping me informed, and I would have to say I get just as excited as if we were moving on to a championship game. There's a lot of components that are very similar, but it's also very different at the same time, but it's just as exciting.
Excellent. Thank you so much. My next question is going for Mr. Ma. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background in education, and your esports coaching at Franklin?
Sure.
So I've been a LAUSD teacher for 10 years now, 5 years here at Franklin High School. I've been teaching math also for the past 10 years, and I graduated from UCLA. And so the reason why I got so involved in esports was actually I was a competitor in college as well. I competed in fighting games, so games like Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom. These were games that I competed with my friends in college. I drove and went to tournaments in Las Vegas. So I was somewhat familiar with this world already. And so when COVID happened and they had asked, hey, we're going to be starting these esports programs now because a lot of the traditional sports are being shut down, I decided, hey, this would be a great shot because I was already running the gaming club or video gaming club at our school. So I took this opportunity and said, hey, look, I'm already involved in this world. It'd be nice to give the kids a chance to be part of this world, chances that I wish I had when I was a kid in high school because, you know, I was a gamer when I was young. And to give this opportunity to our students, it was a fantastic ride.
To be able to connect the things that you've already done and bring it to your students, that's great. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for letting us know about like your experience with esports in school and how you're advocating for your students. I recently learned that you placed first in a championship for the high school esports league. And I'd love if you could share a little bit about your recent victory.
Yeah, it was an exciting win for us. I am so happy for the kids because, you know, I can't take credit. My kids are the talent. They are the ones that put in the practice. They are the ones that put in the work. I'm just a catalyst. I have to give hats off to my students that put in the time and put in the work because they were the ones that really dedicated and practiced over summer break and did what needed to be done in order to win. And I think just like any other traditional game or a sport, you have to put in the time and effort to practice in order to win at anything. So we came off actually a big loss last year. So last year we made top four in the state in the CIF championships for Rocket League. And the kids were really emotional during that ride because we had lost by one goal. We were defeated and didn't make it to the grand finals championship game. I told my students at that time, it's not about the win or a loss, it's about the journey. And so, yes, this loss is going to sting for a very long time, but use that to fuel you saying, hey, we're not done yet. We have still so much to learn, still so many techniques that we can implement in our game to critically think better, to defeat our opponents, and use that as fuel for next season, which was this past season. With all that progress, with all that work, it finally came to fruition and the kids won. And I'm so happy for them because they took that message to heart and they deserve it.
Well, congratulations again. I think a lot of that win is also in part to you as the coach of that team. It's working really well in terms of building your students in a way that they are supported, but also understand how to compete in a big competition and all the different soft skills that they carry along with that as well.
So you both mentioned that there are so many different skills and values that are really instilled in the students in esports competition with collaboration and all of that learning spaces. Is there any one specific student who comes to mind that you feel their life was positively impacted by being part of the esports team?
I don't have any one student in mind because there's just been so many, I really can't name one. Because of our program, I've had so many students choose STEM majors for their college careers. Many of them right now in computer science and engineering. I've had students that didn't feel included because they were not a traditional athlete. So they found a new community of students that didn't fit in that mold, and they felt comfortable making friends when they couldn't make friends anywhere else. I've had students with disabilities and students with challenges, social emotional challenges, come through our club and found a space that they felt included. And I've also had students come back and support our program and kind of be like an alumni to our students and be mentors when they were mentored themselves. So I really cannot think of anyone because there's just been so many blessings through this program. And I've just been very thankful that I've been able to touch enough students through this program.
I would say the biggest winners were the ones that signed up first in 2020. Right? Those were the kids that took that extra step. Those were the kids that said, okay, I'm going to join. I'm going to be part of this group. I mean, it was very hard to get our kids to turn on their cameras and to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, be part of this team. It has been very rewarding. I agree with Mr. Ma. It's like they're all winners. You know, they're all so unique and they're all so different and they're all winners and they're actually champions now. And for me, as the principal, when I do my campus tours, when I go out and do articulation with the middle schools, it's very common to have at least one student ask me, do you have esports? So, you know, as principal, I put up all my activities that I have available to them at the school, and it's very prideful to put on esports as part of it because the kids are catching on and they want to be part of this group.
That's great. Did you see any added benefits or any changes in the students' overall education?
So one of the things that we do incorporate is that we are required to make students have a certain GPA standing in order to compete. For me, being an educator, it was so important that, yes, the kids are playing video games, but their academics comes first. I've had to bench students sometimes from competing and playing and saying, hey, look, as much as you are very talented and I want you to play for us, you need to graduate from high school first. You need to complete your academics. And so because of that benchmark, it's helped a couple of students to see that they need to take care of their responsibilities before they play. So I was really happy to see that a lot of students that came through our program have stepped up and take care of priorities. Beyond academics, definitely the soft skills are there. I love how much they incorporate technology now. I've seen students get into streaming. I've seen students do a lot of film editing on their own, things I would have never imagined to do in my young age in high school. But I see my students incorporating technology and soft skills. And I think the biggest one so proud of the kids is just the communication. Things are never perfect. Sometimes kids get mad, and as teenagers, they're not always perfect with the way they say things. So I'm just so happy that they've learned to talk to each other in this space. And, you know, I try to make the space as safe as possible for them to share their ideas and share their thoughts and be kind to one another. I think it's the biggest thing. So those are the things that I've seen.
Yeah, I think that you're really hitting on a lot of different aspects of esports that people don't traditionally think about and like consider in terms of what it looks like in education.
Really redefining what athletic culture looks like at your school promotes inclusivity for students, for those who might have different interests or for their athletic ability. I really love that something that you're valuing and emphasizing at the school and listening to what students want diversifies opportunities for participation. And earlier, you were talking about like maybe some of the benefits of the competition itself. What are some of those other pathways that they might take? You mentioned that they're getting interested in streaming, possible college pathways after they leave high school that's built through esports and scholarship opportunities. Can you speak about extensions to what they're learning at school?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, video games have gotten a bad rap for a long time. But what I would like the audience to understand is that the video games is a pathway to the technology that everyone uses. So a lot of my students that are gaming, they're so connected into the technology that they are already interested in going into computer science, that they're interested in going to STEM majors. That is a branch to saying, hey, are you curious about how video games are made? Hey, are you curious about how streaming works or how those influencers that you watch do the streaming? And they put a microphone together and record podcasts and record their video games too and upload it to YouTube. So these are all things that spawn that curiosity for my students, and they get involved in those technological skills. Speaking on just opportunity as well, there are scholarships for students that are very talented. It's just very surprising and exciting for the opportunities that are out there. For High School Esports League, they've been offering scholarships, real cash scholarships for students that compete at the highest level. And these students also get recruited to collegiate teams. So now you're talking about not just football and basketball recruiting students to their colleges. You're seeing these schools also recruiting high-level video gamers to their colleges. I know last year there were a couple of students that were champions in this league that got recruited to various schools around the nation, from UCLA, UCI, Cal State Long Beach. I know these are schools that have their own collegiate esports team that give scholarships and recruit students. There's all these new opportunities that weren't there a decade or two decades ago. And now we're just entering a new realm of reality. I'm just super excited that we are able to be the forefront of that and find those opportunities for our students.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You definitely are pioneers in these efforts. And Principal Martinez, how do you envision esports continuing to make a positive impact on not just the students, but even the educational community in the years to come?
Just listening to Mr. Mall and how there's now the recruiting for esports at the colleges, right? And also just the fact that the colleges now say we have esports and how that's very attractive to students. So your passion starts to build in middle school and high school, and then you start following your passion. For us, we need to offer diverse clubs, diverse sports, diverse everything, because kids are going to connect to something. And this connection is going to then lead them to the next level. So I see it as something that's going to continue to be part of our program, continue to help us bring in students to our school. And then as we not only compete, but as we become better versions of ourselves, our students become these wonderful leaders in their passion, then they're going to take that to the future and they will be ready for the world in their own way.
I love that. All of our students are very unique and different, and it's so great to hear that they can grow and excel in an area that inspires them and gets them excited every day. Is there anything else that you would like to add to our audience regarding education through esports?
I would say, don't be afraid to try something new. When I was approached to start this program 5 years ago, when our athletic director said, hey, look, this is what CIF is doing, I didn't know what I get myself into. I didn't know we would win a championship 5 years later. It can be overwhelming. I know there's a lot of programs out there that are just starting right now, and there's a lot of things to go over, a lot of nuances. But I think just knowing that it's not going to be perfect, we've gone through our share of failures and things didn't go the way we wanted, or things didn't get built the right way. But, you know, you just have to kind of dive in and give it a shot. And I'm just excited for what's coming next. You know, I know that a lot of schools now are adding esports and streaming and shoutcasting as CTE classes now in their high schools and getting funding for that. And I guess the best way to describe it is that new things are coming and it's time to embrace it and find what clicks for our students so that they can connect their education to their passions. And hopefully we can see more of that in education as we move forward.
I think for me, I just remember the four C's: collaboration, critical thinking, creativity, and communication. This is what we reinforce in our students. And it is a sport. It has all the makings of a team. So it is a sport.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Franklin team, for sharing how the Panthers are making an impact with esports. So let's now move from Franklin High School in Region East to Palms Middle School in Region West. Welcome, Ms. Romero.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, let's hear your story, part two of our podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in education, and also about your experience with esports.
Yeah, this is my 10th year with LAUSD, my second school. I previously taught at Wright Middle School, and I've been teaching robotics since 2014, 2015. Prior to that, I taught all subjects in sixth grade. And as far as esports coaching, or Minecraft specifically coaching, last year was my first year with that. I've played around with Minecraft in the classroom, but last year was the first time being a coach for teams that were competing.
That's great. 10 years, 1 year with esports. So what inspired you to start coaching this competitive esports team?
So I already coach two robotics teams here at Palms, and I've been coaching robotics also for about the same amount of time that I've been teaching robotics. So the coaching part of it was kind of a natural course, I guess. But I saw the Minecraft competition when I was just searching on the ITI site for different things I could sign up for or be a part of, which I regularly try to do. And then I saw the Minecraft competition. And then that's when I had planned to bring it to my classes, and they were super excited about it.
Thank you. It's great. Minecraft sessions, professional learning is very popular. I'm glad you were able to grab hold of something to bring to your students.
Yeah, I guess while we're talking about Level Up Los Angeles, just to set some context for our listeners, in LAUSD, we could think about our K-12 esports umbrella as academic esports, and then the middle and high school esports programs as sort of like that scholastic esports component. But when we're thinking about district-wide esports and what is offered, the Level Up Los Angeles esports competition with Minecraft education is what's available for all students K-12. Ms. Romero, I know that your team, Spontaneous Combustion, won the championship of Level Up Los Angeles last year. So do you mind walking us through that journey that maybe led up to the victory, or highlight any significant moments or challenges that you encountered?
Yeah, so when I discovered the competition on the website, I was super excited about it. I knew that the kids were going to be thrilled. I don't have a strong personal Minecraft knowledge, meaning I'm not good at it. I'm not good at playing the game. But I knew the kids were going to be really excited about it. And so I brought it back to them when I came back to school. And I said, look, there's this new competition. The district is sponsoring it. It's K-12. I had to do like small groups and introduce it to them that way and really show them, you know, what's the problem? What are we trying to solve? And we use the design process already in our class when we're going through our robotics projects. So they're familiar with that. Keeping the kids on track was challenging at sometimes because I teach three classes and all three classes participated. So I made it an assignment, and then they submitted their video to me. I didn't want it to just be a free-for-all, and I didn't know how many teams were competing. And I really don't think there was a lot of challenges. Honestly, the kids are really invested. They like it. Yeah. And the world last year was amazing. That was amazing. And now we had our different regions, and we had the Santa Monica Pier, and it was something that all the kids recognized. They were like, oh, it's the pier. Oh my gosh, they have the roller coaster. They have it. They really liked it, and they were able to relate to it, and they knew what it was like around there. So when they were trying to make it better and develop it, they had some understanding of what it was like there. So they were able to make a connection. They just took it and ran with it.
Were there any challenges in terms of introducing it to other classrooms to see if they were interested in participating?
I felt like I stumbled upon it. Yeah. There's a lot going on sometimes at schools, and so I didn't share it until after we were already going to the finals. When I told the administrators, they were super excited about it. I had told them, oh, we made it past this level. We made it to this next level. We're going to be in my classroom after school because the kids are competing, you know, via Zoom. And they were like, oh, wow. But I don't think even they really like grasped this is the first competition, and these kids are just going for it and they're doing so well.
Yeah. Well, we're really grateful that you participated, you gave it a chance, and look at where it took your students. So
I remember how excited they were at CS for LAUSD with those smiles. I don't think they left their faces like the whole entire day.
Yeah, they were very excited. Yeah, very excited.
So I hope they'll try to maintain their title this year, and we'll see spontaneous combustion in the finals again. We'll see.
I think that kind of goes into the next question. That you brought up the fact that you have three classrooms that participated in this and you incorporate in your instructional day. So what kinds of skills and values do you feel the students like gain from activities like these?
I think these types of activities are essential to their everyday instruction. The cooperation, the cooperative learning, the critical thinking, those are some of the things that I really hone in on in this class. Even though it's a robotics class, we do a lot of communicating, practice and communicating, effective communication, because, you know, my students are really, really bright, but they're also developing. They're middle schoolers and they don't always know how to communicate what they need their group mate to do or what they need their table to do so that their project or their Minecraft world or their robot can be successful and meet whatever goal it is that they're trying to reach. So effective communication is so huge in this class, and cooperation, so that everybody has that opportunity to participate and that no one feels like she's so much smarter than I am and she knows how to do all the programming and she knows how to build everything. I can't bring anything to the table. Because a lot of times, even if my students are not on the same level computer science or engineering wise, their creativity really brings in like a well-rounded approach to whatever the problem is. So being able to communicate and collaborate is my top things that I try to ensure the kids are getting every day.
Like that, bringing in that creativity part, they really do work as a team and work towards their skill sets, right? What are they strong in and help each other?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Yeah, I'm hearing some themes both from Palms Middle School and Franklin High School in terms of how esports really creates like an inclusive environment. It really taps into what the students' interests are on top of building those four C's and those soft skills around like, you know, communication, critical thinking, creativity, and collaboration. My guess on that note, how do you make sure that students maintain their academic performance that's critical for school while also balancing esports commitments and their responsibilities academically?
So for me here in our robotics program that we have here at Palms, they have to sign a contract in order to be able to participate in anything that happens outside of the school day or an agreement. I just make it consistent with what our expectations are for our culminating eighth graders so that we have just similar expectations for all of our students. But they have to have certain grades, but we hold them to that expectation so that they understand, you know, you're representing us, our school, our community outside of our school. And so it's important that we maintain a positive, not just an appearance, but a positive being. Like, we are well-rounded. We're not just like, I'm an excellent programmer, but I'm not keeping up with my responsibilities at school. So we just don't let them participate. I honestly don't have that problem with my students. They are excellent. My students are excellent. But we do have that and make it known with the parents as well. Like, this is extracurricular. We have what we're doing in the class. And if they can't come to what's outside of school, it's okay. It's not going to affect their grade in the class. But in order to be able to go to what's outside of class, they have to meet these expectations.
What are some of the ways that you bring it into your classroom during instructional time? And how do you justify that during the school day?
Like I said, my kids are amazing. They're excited to be in this classroom. And so they want to do everything they can to be able to participate outside of the classroom as well. And I just have high expectations for them. And the expectations are here and they're high, and they rise to them. Like, they want to succeed and they want to solve the problem. But just with solving the problem of whatever they're building, okay, here's the problem, here's the materials, this is why we're doing it. Now you solve the problem. They want to do it. You know, everything is very hands-on and they enjoy it. So I think that that's how it comes into the classroom.
I think it's great that you brought in the aspect of grades and like work habits, because when they get to high school, if they do choose to go to a sport, those are the expectations of high school athletics as well. So that's a great learning curve for them at the middle school. So your kids are going into high school knowing that that is part of the expectation. So with that, for new teachers wanting to incorporate or bring in esports in their classroom or at their school site, what are some best practices that you can share and recommend?
I would say the biggest thing would probably be to not be so concerned or stressed out if you don't know how to do it, right? So I'm familiar with Minecraft, been around it for many, many years, but I cannot play the game. But the kids know, and they're more than happy to show you. Like, you say, okay, this is what your task is today. You break it up into small chunks and you show me at the end of the day. They are more than happy to show you what they've been able to accomplish and all the cool things they built or that they're building. I would also say small chunks are really helpful. I learned that from last year to this year. I have a sixth grade class and they need everything broken down a lot smaller and they need a lot more direct instruction than my seventh and eighth graders do. And because the design process is so heavy into it, trying to get them to understand how we use the design process in a video game and how that differs from using the design process when we're building something hands-on. And it's not really different, but for them, it's different. In their mind, it's different. So really breaking it down into small tasks so that you make sure that they understand it, so that the kids know what the problem is and the academic language that the problem is stated in, but that they understand it in their own words. Because if they don't, then they're just like, wow, we're playing Minecraft all day. You know, if they don't understand that the Minecraft is with a purpose.
I like that. I think that's just evident of you being a good teacher, knowing the skills and the pedagogy of how to break down a problem, how to ensure that students know what the objective is, whether or not you're really comfortable navigating in Minecraft. I think you taking that chance and at least providing the guidance and the facilitation for the students to be successful in it is really telling of just your work as being a good teacher. So thank you for taking the leap into it, even if it's unfamiliar territory, because your students were still able to really be successful. So yeah, how do you envision esports continuing to make a positive impact on the students or even your educational community?
I think it's just going to continue to be more and more of a part of what the kids are doing, right? Like math, like science, like English. This is just something that is being introduced and it's going to stay. The kids are playing video games. Mm-hmm. So if we can bring it into the classroom and we can teach them about healthy competition and we can teach them about cooperation within the video game, they're already doing it with these other games. They're already cooperating, but if we can do it in a classroom setting and we can really add in intentional focus on those, you know, 4 C's, then it really just helps them to become greater students and leading into high school and then into college if that's what they choose. Like, these are real careers and real pathways that they can find if that's what they want to do. This can lead them there. And they could start here in a Minecraft competition in seventh grade or sixth grade. I think that's amazing, you know?
Yeah, even at Franklin High School, they're talking about what that looks like at the high school level with scholarships or even learning about different career pathways to be a shoutcaster or like a streamer. You know, these are pathways that students might not know about if they weren't introduced to esports during their K-12 experience.
Right. It's just about making those opportunities available to them. I don't know how to play Minecraft, but I can make this opportunity available for you and you can see where it can take you.
All right. So I want to just take this time to see if you want to add any final thoughts or if you want to include anything or share anything else with us.
I think that it's important to understand that with the games that the kids are playing, you know, there are a lot of games that are on the surface, they just look like games. And as adults, often we don't understand what the kids are playing. And we think they're wasting their time. They're just sitting there playing games all the time. And yes, okay, the children need help with time management. That's what we're here to help them with. But that doesn't mean that there's no time in the day for playing games, because the games help them with their critical thinking skills. The games help them with collaboration if they're playing with other people, if they're on a headset and they're talking and they're communicating. These are all skills that the kids need as they mature and they go into high school and beyond.
Thank you. Well, this wraps up episode 13 with Principal Martinez, Mr. Ma, and Ms. Romero.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode of Leading for Impact podcast brought to you by the LAUSD Instructional Technology Initiative 2024.